Ensign Harry Kim strides down a corridor on the Starship Voyager as Seven of Nine quickly catches up with him.
Ensign Kim, I require your assistance in Jeffrey's Tube 37 Alpha.
Well, can it wait? I just got off duty.
It is urgent.
Tuvok is asleep in his quarters.
Bridge to Commander Tuvok.
Tuvok here.
You're needed on the bridge, sir.
On my way.
Captain Janeway warily approaches the door to the mess hall. She enters thoughtfully and is surprised that there are no lights on.
Computer lights on. Helix? Is anybody here?
Voyager to Lieutenant Paris.
Paris here.
How's it going out there, Tom?
One more orbit and I should have all the data we need.
Good work. See you when you get back. Chakotay out.
Tuvok makes his way to the bridge.
Crewman, Ensign.
Sir. Hello, sir.
Everyone averts their eyes. Puzzled, Tuvok continues, aware that something is wrong but unable to fathom what. In the Jeffrey's tube, Seven leads Harry down a ladder and waits at the bottom for him to join her. Her eyes follow his every move. As he checks the readings on his tricorder, Seven stands very close to his shoulder.
Looks to me like you aligned the power couplings perfectly.
I did.
If you're so sure, then why'd you need me to look at them?
I did not.
And what's this all about?
I've learned from observing Lieutenants Taurus and Paris that humans sometimes require a pretext for being intimate with one another.
Intimate?
Resistance is futile.
Paris the Voyager!
Voyager here.
My primary warp manifold just ruptured. I've lost helm control. Auxiliary power is offline. Thrusters won't respond.
Say again, Tom. Your signal's breaking up.
My orbit's decaying. I don't think I can hold it.
Repeat that, Tom.
I need an emergency beam out.
Voyager to Lieutenant Paris. Come in.
Neelix?
What can I do for you, Captain?
Where is everybody?
Didn't you see them when you came in?
No.
Take a look.
Neelix takes her arm and leads her towards a table in the darkest corner of the mess hall. She lets him guide her as her eyes search the shadows warily.
Computer, activate lights.
Four cobweb-covered corpses sit at the table.
Lieutenant Commander Tuvok, reporting for duty. Is something wrong?
I think you forgot something, Tuvok.
It appears that in my haste to report to the bridge, I neglected to put on my uniform.
Tuvok quickly steps into the turbo lift and stares in confusion at the ridge-headed alien waiting for him.
What happened to them?
They died.
Why?
You didn't get them home in time.
The same alien stands behind Neelix. Tom Paris's shuttle plummets towards the planet, and suddenly, rising above the nose of the vessel, the ridge-headed alien appears. In the Jeffrey's tube, all resistance by Harry has been passionately kissed away by Seven. She steps away and Harry leans happily against the wall. Opening his eyes, he suddenly sees the ridge-headed alien. Harry is suddenly asleep in his own bed, and throughout the starship, the crew are shocked awake by their dreams. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Waking Moments. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The Starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas, its flat, oval bow raised above and forward of the cylindrical body to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet streaked with clouds turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun eclipsed by a satellite moon is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic, gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing. In his quarters, Tom ties his dressing gown together and crosses to open the door.
Hello.
Good morning. Sleep well?
Not really. What are you doing here?
I just thought I'd stop by and ask you why you didn't meet me for breakfast.
Breakfast? What time is it?
7:40.
And we were supposed to meet at 0700.
I was there, right after I got off the night shift. I waited, and I waited, and I called you on the comm.
I didn't hear you. I was having this wild nightmare. I was out like a light. I'm sorry. I'll get dressed right now.
You don't have time. You're due on the bridge at 0800, and I've got to get some sleep.
Oh, I hate this. We never see each other.
I'm off Friday night.
Great. Let's go skiing. How about St. Moritz?
We went skiing last time.
And you loved it. You're getting really good, you know.
I just thought maybe we could run a program where the wind chill factor wasn't 30 below zero. Like Fiji or Samoa.
There's nothing to do there.
And you can be warm while you're not doing it.
How about a compromise? Spring skiing in Chile, much warmer.
A compromise. How about Tahiti?
Tahiti? As long as I can go water skiing, fine.
You're on. Now go get dressed. So you'll at least have time to stop for some coffee.
I'll see you Friday night.
Tom enters the mess hall, rubbing sleep from his eyes.
Morning, Tom. What will it be? Scrambled, sunny side up, over easy?
Just a cup of coffee.
Are you sure? Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, you know.
Neelix.
Right.
Tom takes a sip from his mug and immediately spits it back out.
Neelix, did you have a rough night or something?
Why do you ask?
Because you just poured me a steaming cup of cooking oil.
Actually, I did have a little trouble sleeping last night. Nightmares.
Oh, me too.
Must have been those three full moons we passed yesterday. Well, a few sips of my coffee should clear the fuzz out of your brain.
Maybe you should pour yourself a cup while you're at it.
Neelix's face echoes his own confusion as he mulls over his dream. Yawning, Captain Janeway enters the bridge.
Seem to be a little short-handed today.
Tom and Harry are both late. I was going to give them another 5 minutes, but I'll call them now if you'd like.
That's all right. I'm a little late myself, aren't I?
I wasn't going to mention it. Burning the midnight oil?
Actually, I went to bed early for a change, but I had a nightmare and I could not get back to sleep.
I had a bad dream last night, too.
You tell me yours and I'll tell you mine.
Sorry I'm late, Captain.
Well,
I was in the forest with my father. We were hunting deer, which was odd because that was something I always refused to do. We cornered the animal. I looked to my father to see if he was going to kill it. But he wasn't my father anymore. He was a vicious-looking alien.
There was an alien in my dream, too. And it wasn't from any race I've seen before. He had sharp ridges on his forehead and on the front of his neck.
That's what mine looked like. I don't mean to be eavesdropping, but I had a nightmare last night, too. And I'm pretty sure I saw the same guy.
Tuvok, by any chance, did you have a bad dream last night?
I did have a somewhat unsettling dream, yes. It involved an alien with ridges on his face and neck.
Well, I'd say this sounds like more than a coincidence. Let's get the rest of the senior staff together and come up with some answers. Which reminds me, where's Harry?
Bridge to Ensign Kim.
Computer, locate Ensign Kim.
Ensign Kim is in his quarters.
Tuvok.
Janeway quickly leads into the turbo lift and immediately turns to Tuvok.
Deck 6. I've got a hunch Harry's dreaming about our new alien friend.
That would be consistent with the experiences the rest of us have had.
Tell me more about your dream. Where exactly did you see the alien?
As a matter of fact, it was here in the turbo lift.
What happened?
The alien simply stared at me as if scrutinizing my appearance.
That's what happened in my dream. What did you do?
I returned to my quarters.
Did the alien follow you?
He did.
And then?
He watched me.
Doing what?
Getting dressed.
Getting dressed?
Yes.
I don't suppose I should ask why you were undressed.
I would prefer that you didn't.
Although Janeway tries hard not to, she steals a glance at Tuvok, grinning broadly. They stop outside Harry's door.
Harry? Harry!
Computer, open door 105-2. Security clearance Tuvok, Zeta 9.
Entering the darkened room, they quickly cross to Harry's bed. He is fast asleep.
Harry? Harry, wake up.
She turns to Tuvok, unable to hide her concern. All the medibeds in sickbay are occupied.
Are they comatose?
Not exactly. They all appear to be in a hyper-REM state. I've tried every conventional method of waking them, from drugs to direct cortical stimulation, but nothing works.
Do you have any idea what's causing this?
Scans haven't detected any viral or bacterial agents. No cranial trauma, no neural disorders. They're simply asleep.
I'd say it's a pretty good bet this is somehow related to the alien from our dreams.
Any progress in identifying him?
Not yet, but I've got everyone working on it. In the meantime, what's your recommendation?
Large doses of animazine.
I thought you said drugs weren't working.
Not for them, for everybody else. Until I can determine what's happening, I suggest the rest of you avoid going to sleep.
I'd say his ridges were a little more pronounced.
Computer, increase facial ridge height by 4 centimeters.
That's closer.
I think his eyes were wider apart.
Computer, increase the space between the eyes by 3 centimeters. Increase skin color and texture.
That's him.
Has anybody seen this species before? While you were awake, I mean. 7.
He doesn't resemble any species assimilated by the Borg.
So is he just a figment of our imagination?
If he is, we've all been imagining the exact same thing.
One possible explanation is that he's attempting to make telepathic contact.
He's doing more than making contact. We've got 6 crew members who can't wake up. For all we know, it's some sort of attack.
From where? Astrometric scans haven't revealed any ships in this vicinity, or planets capable of sustaining humanoid life.
So where do we look?
In our dreams. That's the only place any of us has seen him, right? So if we want to communicate with him, find out what he wants, we'll have to do it on his terms.
How do you propose we do that?
Lucid dreaming.
What's that?
It's a technique which allows you to take control of your dream.
That happened to me once. I dreamt I was falling, and suddenly I realized that I was dreaming, and I could fly, land, do whatever I wanted. I was in complete control of the dream.
What happened to you by accident is something some people can do by design. I've been able to have a lucid dream by using the same technology I use for a vision quest. I may be able to use it to communicate with this alien.
Maybe so. But how do we know you'd be able to wake up again?
It's kind of like self-hypnosis. Before I go to sleep, I choose a visual cue, something to let me know I'm dreaming. Earth's moon, say. Once I see it, I can wake myself by tapping the back of my hand 3 times.
Perhaps you are capable of doing this under normal circumstances, but these were hardly conventional dreams we experienced.
I don't see any other way of finding out what our friend here is after, or how we can wake up Harry and the others. Besides, we can't stay awake forever.
You'll do this in sick bay, under the doctor's supervision. The rest of you keep scanning the region. Analyze this ship from stem to stern. Wherever he is, find him.
Normally, I consider a good night's sleep an important part of any health regimen. But in this case, I can't recommend it.
I respect your medical opinion, Doctor. But at this point, we're out of options.
This will regulate your hypothalamus. But in all probability, I won't be able to wake you. You'll be on your own.
I understand.
Ready? Pleasant dreams.
Akuchimoya. Far from the sacred places of my grandfathers, far from the bones of my people, I seek to sleep, to meet the one who has visited us in our dreams.
Chakotay's eyes close in sleep, and he opens them to find himself walking down a corridor carrying an old-fashioned spear. Unperturbed, he walks on, and suddenly, ahead of him, a deer trots into view at the end of the corridor. Adjusting to the path of the dream, Chakotay crouches slightly and follows the deer. It disappears momentarily around a corner before quickly trotting back. Chakotay raises his spear, and the deer looks at him before skipping into the mess hall on Voyager. Chakotay follows, his weapon held ready. Walking through the mess hall, his eye is drawn to the luminous shape of Earth's moon shining in the window, and he smiles to himself, walking with growing confidence to the far door. Warily looking to his left and right, he approaches the door, which suddenly opens to reveal a deer watching him. All at once, the deer transforms itself into the alien. Chakotay raises his spear.
I know this is a dream. My dream. I'm in control.
You're mistaken.
Am I?
This is more than a dream. It's my reality, and you're no different than the others.
The others?
The waking species. For centuries, you've come and found us in a state that you call sleep and tried to destroy us. But not anymore. Now we are in control. One by one, you will fall asleep and enter our reality, where it is you who will be destroyed.
We didn't attack you. We didn't even know you existed until we started seeing you in our dreams. Tell me how I can wake my crew, and I promise we'll leave.
As long as you're asleep, you're no threat to us.
I can wake myself anytime I want. And if I do, I'm gonna start looking for you in the waking world. Find where you're sleeping. You wouldn't want that.
Leave our space. Once you're beyond it, your people will awaken.
Just tell me how far we need to go.
There's a 6-planet system less than a parsec away. It marks the nearest border of our space.
We can be past it in one day.
Then wake yourself and pray you never dream of us again.
Chakotay taps the back of his hand 3 times.
Congratulations, Commander. You're awake.
Chakotay.
I'm fine.
The alien, did you see him? And?
Well, it was certainly one of the most interesting away missions I've ever been on. I'll tell you about it on the way to the bridge.
Tuvok, scan for a six-planet system. It should be less than a parsec from here.
I have it, Captain. At coordinates 139, mark 42.
Tom, lay in a course.
Aye, Captain. Course laid in. Do you mind if I ask where we're heading?
Past the aliens' territory. Once we're clear of it, Harry and the others should wake up.
The rest of us can finally get some sleep.
One step at a time, Tom.
From what the alien told me, it sounds like they have corporeal form, but they communicate through their dreams. For them, it's as real as the waking world.
Extraordinary.
It reminds me of the Australian Aborigines. They believed the dream world was no more or less real than the waking world. In fact, their creation mythology says their ancestors actually dreamed the universe into existence.
That's mythology. This seems to be fact.
I wonder, do they ever wake up? How did they evolve this way?
We may never know. Sometimes first contact is last contact.
We're approaching the border of the alien space.
Commander Tuvok, inform the doctor.
Aye, Captain.
Passing a scanner over Harry's head, the doctor checks for change.
Wake up, Ensign.
What's going on?
You were napping?
In sick bay?
We had to move you here when we couldn't wake you.
How long?
17 hours. I take it you experienced nightmares like the rest of the crew?
Oh, I had nightmares, all right.
Tell me about them.
Well, I was in the corridor.
Captain Janeway asked me to bring you the results of our astrometric scans. She thought they might be helpful in determining the precise cause of the crew's somnolence.
Thank you.
Ensign Kim, now that you're awake, I require your assistance in Jeffrey's 221 beta. Is something wrong?
No. I'm still feeling a little groggy.
Then I'll wait until you are fully recovered.
Now then, Ensign, you were telling me about your nightmare?
You know what, Doc? I'm famished. Haven't eaten in at least 17 hours, right?
Very well. Go eat, get some clothes on, and report back in an hour.
I'll see you later. You too, Seven.
And the next thing I knew, I was being boiled alive in a pot of my own Leola root stew.
Talk about a nightmare.
But it was perfectly seasoned.
Well, if it isn't Sleeping Beauty.
I do look well rested, don't I?
Is everyone awake now?
The doc checked us all out and says we're fine.
Have a seat. We were just trading dream stories.
Tell us yours.
Oh, it was nothing very interesting, just the usual, you know.
Who was she, Harry?
The woman of my dreams. All right, what I'd like to know is what Tuvok dreamt about.
Yes, Commander, tell us, what do Vulcans dream?
Aren't you supposed to have horrible nightmares?
I wonder what a Vulcan nightmare would be like.
Alone, exiled on a planet where the only form of communication is laughter.
Oh, come on, Tuvok.
I won't dignify this inquisition with a response.
Red alert. All hands to battle stations.
They're coming around for another pass.
Auxiliary power to the shields. Return fire.
No damage to the alien ship. Our phasers can't penetrate their shields.
Armed photon torpedoes seem to have a knack for provoking strangers these days.
Shields are offline.
Fire.
I've lost power to the torpedo launchers.
What's happening?
Power is being drained from all systems.
We're being hailed.
On screen.
Captain. Ensign Kim, Commander Chakotay. I'm glad to see you all up and about.
Janeway to engineering. We need auxiliary power to the engines now.
I think you'll find that impossible.
B'Elanna, report.
There's a localized dampening field around the ship, Captain. I can't give you engines, weapons, shields.
Everything you told me was a lie. This was all an elaborate trap to get Voyager here.
It appears you're learning more about my people after all. Prepare to surrender your ship.
Captain, three more alien vessels are approaching. They are powering weapons.
You've gone to so much trouble to commandeer this ship. I don't think you're going to destroy it.
I won't need to.
The bridge is suddenly surrounded by aliens. Tuvok attempts to fire, but his phaser is useless.
Janeway to the crew, we're under attack. Implement defense procedure Omega.
It's no use. We've taken every deck. The ship is ours.
The entire crew is rounded up and shepherded into Cargo Bay 2 by armed guards. Janeway leads the bridge crew with Tuvok beside her. Their faces are hard and determined, and they appear more annoyed than frightened of the recent events. As they enter the cargo bay, crew members rush to them as if seeking reassurance or information. The senior officers remain stone-faced. Janeway holds up her hand, brooking no response, and strides to the end of the bay.
All the time I thought I was negotiating, they were just setting us up to fly right into their web.
You couldn't have known it was a trick.
I don't understand. They exist in dreams and reality.
Apparently, entering our dreams was their way to learn about us, perhaps to probe our weaknesses.
Not to mention lure us into an ambush.
We need to retake the ship.
That means getting out of his cargo bay.
I checked the Jeffries tubes. They're sealed.
Maybe we can open them manually.
That's not going to be easy. They've got people everywhere.
We'll have to create a diversion.
Any ideas?
I have one, Captain.
No!
Stop! What the hell are you doing?
Creating a diversion.
Ensign Kim, it is your fault we have been captured.
I suggest you fight back.
Tom, try to get into a Jeffries tube. You two work on the power grid. I'll deal with this.
Stop! Stop!
What's going on here? These are my people. I'll handle them. Ensign, that's enough. Move!
As Janeway attempts to break up the mock fight, Chakotay and B'Elanna make their way quickly and stealthily to a main power conduit. Chakotay hauls the cover off the unit and they begin to recode and bypass the grid. Suddenly, an image catches Chakotay's eyes, and he stops in confusion, staring at Earth's moon reflected in the grid's transparent surfaces.
What's wrong?
I'm still asleep.
What are you talking about? Chakotay!
Two guards suddenly grab him from behind while another warns B'Elanna off with his phaser rifle. In a burst of strength, Chakotay manages to tap his hand three times.
Commander Chakotay, you're awake.
Am I? Are you sure?
Of course you are.
Chakotay stares at the reflective surface of a console screen.
What are you looking for?
The moon.
What?
He crosses to the transparent panels of the doctor's office, staring hard.
I don't see it. Where's the captain?
Asleep, along with the rest of the crew.
All of them?
Except me. No rest for the never weary.
What happened?
As soon as you entered your lucid dream, they all began falling asleep one by one. I've been trying every method I can think of to revive them, but nothing works. It's been 39 hours.
I've been asleep for almost 2 days?
If I can't wake them soon, I'm going to have to start feeding them intravenously.
They let me think I was awake, but I was still dreaming.
You weren't the only one. Look at this.
What is it?
A neurogenic field created by heightened electrical activity in the brain. It's been occurring in all the sleeping crew members. And that's not all. This is Ensign Kim's brainwave pattern, indicating that he's dreaming in a hyper-REM state. This is Crewman Foster's pattern.
They're identical.
Lieutenant Torres, Captain Janeway, Commander Tuvok. I don't know what it means.
I think I do. Not only are they dreaming, they're all having the same dream. It wasn't just my dream, it was a communal dream.
Everyone's REM patterns are identical. They're experiencing the same images, each from his or her own point of view.
Yes. I saw the rest of the crew, interacted with them. We were all working together to fight off an alien attack.
Which wasn't real.
Oh, we're under attack, all right.
Commander?
Maybe this is the way these aliens fight their enemies. They exist somewhere in our reality as physical beings, but they must be asleep, unable to defend themselves against what they call waking species. We'll never defeat them in their dream reality, but if we can find them, find where they're sleeping, we'll have the advantage.
But we've been scanning for life forms since this started, and we haven't found anything.
Maybe we've been looking in the wrong place. I'm betting a species that spends its time sleeping isn't going to be hanging around where conventional scans can locate them.
So how do we find them?
This neurogenic field you mentioned. Anyone in a hyper-REM state would be producing one.
In theory, yes. So if we scan for other neurogenic fields, it might lead us to the sleeping aliens.
If you need me, I'll be on the bridge.
Every member of the crew is slumped over their consoles. Tom Paris is fast asleep, draped over the helm.
Time for a little energy boost, Commander. We don't want you drifting back to sleep. Sorry about the mess, but this is what happens when my repeated requests for a larger sick bay fall on deaf ears. What is it?
Scanners have detected a neurogenic field emanating from beneath the surface of a planet less than a light year from here. Excuse me, Tom, but I've got to change our course.
Still dreaming? How is that possible?
I don't know, but that's what Chakotay said right before he vanished. That doesn't make any sense. He was wide awake right here with us. He said something about still being asleep, and then he started tapping the back of his hand like he said he would to wake up from his lucid dream. And then he disappeared. The question is, where did he go?
The aliens must have transported him somewhere.
Or perhaps he did wake up.
Tuvok?
It's possible he was dreaming all of this.
Wait a minute. If Chakotay was dreaming and he woke up, what are we doing here?
Perhaps we're dreaming as well.
Now I'm lost.
You're not the only one.
Consider that we all experience nightmares about an alien whose people apparently live out their lives in a dream state. Perhaps we're in that state this very moment.
That's ridiculous. We're not asleep.
Wait.
When you dream, you're rarely aware that you're sleeping.
I can understand how we could mistake dreaming for reality. But that doesn't explain how we're all interacting with one another.
Maybe we're not.
Not what?
Interacting with one another. Maybe this is all one person's dream. If, for example, mine, and none of you are really here.
Trust me, Neelix, I wish I weren't, but I'm here.
Collective unconsciousness.
Seven, come here. The Borg share a collective consciousness. These aliens may have somehow induced a state of collective unconsciousness. You mean we're all sharing the same dream?
It is possible.
This is all fascinating speculation. But unless we have proof to the contrary, we have to treat this like an invasion.
I managed to open a Jeffrey's tube hatch.
Good work. Neelix, Seven, Kim, do what you can to distract the guards. We're gonna find a way to retake the ship.
As they disperse, Tuvok leads Janeway and B'Elanna through a Jeffrey's tube to engineering. He prizes open the hatch and they jump cautiously through.
Looks like a complete power drain.
Their dampening field has shut down the warp core.
Which begs the question of what they intend to do with an unpowered ship.
Tuvok, grab some phaser rifles from the weapons locker. Something tells me that when we try to disable the dampening field, we're going to get the aliens' attention.
It looks like they're using harmonic inversion technology. I can isolate the containment frequency. I may be able to get main power back online.
The fluids in the warp core column start to bubble and swirl ever more violently.
That was easy.
Warning, warp core breach in 60 seconds.
Maybe a little too easy.
I don't understand.
Can you eject the core?
I'm trying. It's not working.
Warp core breach in 50 seconds.
We've got to get out of here. I'm trying to put a containment field around engineering.
Warp core breach in 40 seconds.
Got it! Let's move! I don't understand why you couldn't eject the core!
Warp core breach in 30 seconds.
Something's not right!
Captain, we must hurry!
I'm going back in there! You'll be killed!
Warp core breach in 20 seconds.
I think I'm having you two go!
Captain!
That's an order!
Warp core breach in 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Either I become impervious to antimatter explosions, or we're still dreaming.
A warp core explosion should have destroyed the ship.
If I were awake, or if any of this were real, which it obviously isn't, things just weren't adding up. Chakotay's disappearance, the warp core failing to eject, and as Chakotay said, lucid dreaming is about taking control, so I took a chance.
Surely there must have been a less extreme method of testing your assumptions. As captain, you shouldn't be taking chances with your life.
I'm touched by your concern, Tuvok.
Now that we know this is a dream, what do we do?
I suggest we find a way to regain consciousness.
Janeway stares thoughtfully at the back of her hand and heads back to the cargo bay.
Captain, how did you wake yourself?
The same way you did.
The others?
They should all be starting to wake up.
Rise and shine, Mr. Paris.
We need to get as far away from their planet as possible.
Agreed.
I'll make the necessary course correction.
Chakotay stares in bewilderment at the viewing screen.
What is it?
Earth's moon shines back at him.
This isn't real.
Of course it is. See?
No.
Doctor?
He's paranoid, disoriented. I suspect much of the crew will suffer similar symptoms when they awake. Try to relax, Commander. I'm going to sedate you.
No. I need to wake up, not sleep.
I'm here to help you.
No!
It's all right, Commander. You're awake again.
Chakotay watches the screen. A planet now spins before them where the moon had been.
What happened?
You dozed off?
I couldn't wake myself like I did before.
Our proximity to the neurogenic field is making it more difficult to stay conscious.
I need to get down there and find a way to neutralize it.
Not so fast. This is a highly potent animazine derivative. If you feel yourself falling asleep again, you must use it. And Commander, I suggest we keep an open comm line. I may need to provide you with a verbal splash of cold water every now and then.
In the dream world, Janeway frantically taps at the back of her hand.
It's not working.
It's safe to assume that Chakotay and the Doctor are making every effort to wake us from our sleep.
We have to let the rest of the crew know what's happening, that as long as they know they're in a dream, they can't be harmed.
And if the aliens try to stop us?
Then we turn this dream world of theirs into a nightmare.
Chakotay transports to the underground caves beneath the planet's surface.
Okay, Doctor. I'm in.
Acknowledged, Commander.
Scanning ahead with his tricorder, he follows the directional readings through the eerie blue light of an underground tunnel system. He walks out of the tunnel into a huge cavern and stares in amazement. As far as the cavern walls stretch, bodies lie side by side over the floor, as if dead. Janeway, Tuvok, and B'Elanna march determinedly down a corridor and are suddenly confronted by two armed aliens. Tuvok and the captain raise their weapons in challenge.
Stand aside.
Your weapons are useless against us.
You're not fooling anyone. We know this is a dream.
You're confused.
Actually, I'm finally seeing things clearly.
Shoot them.
The phaser beams have no effect.
Now, stand aside.
They march into the cargo bay.
All of you, listen closely. What we have to do is stay in control of the dream. If we can do that, the aliens shouldn't be able to hurt us.
You sound very sure of yourself, Captain.
Why shouldn't I be?
Have you thought about what's happening to your bodies in the waking world? How long do you think they'll survive without nourishment? Without physical activity, your bodies are withering away as we speak. You can't stop it.
Don't be so sure.
It's some kind of transmitter. It looks like they use it to amplify the neurogenic field.
Can you turn it off?
I tried knocking it out with my phaser, but there's some kind of force field.
Commander?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble concentrating.
Time for your medicine.
With the spray in his hand, Chakotay's eyes flicker with an idea.
Doctor, this animazine, it's pretty powerful.
Yes, and I suggest you take it immediately.
These aliens, they look pretty frail.
That's fascinating, Commander. Now please, inject yourself.
They probably wouldn't have the same tolerance for stimulants that we do.
What are you getting at?
The animazine might be capable of waking up one of these aliens.
Commander, I'd be happy to discuss comparative pharmacology with you after you administer your injection.
Actually, I think I'm going to give it to one of my sleepy friends here.
What would that accomplish?
If I can wake him up, I might be able to get him to deactivate this generator.
There's not enough animazine for two doses. If you fall asleep again, there's no way I can revive you.
Doctor, I want you to go to the bridge.
Commander!
I'm giving you an order. Go to the bridge and target my comm signal with a photon torpedo.
You're delirious. You're asking me to incinerate you.
Not just me. These aliens. And their transmitter, too. But only if you don't hear from me in 5 minutes. Understood?
Commander!
Understood!
Aye, sir.
An alien disappears from the dream world as he is woken by the injection.
Tell me how to deactivate this transmitter, or I start shooting.
What happened?
Looks like he woke up.
I'll give you 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2.
Chakotay.
Who's going to help you now, Captain?
I found the cavern and your people. I'm there right now in the waking world. And it's all going to be destroyed in less than 2 minutes, unless you deactivate that transmitter.
If you are there, you'll be killed too. I think you're lying.
Oh, believe me. If I don't contact my ship, you and I are both going to die in our sleep.
Fear rises suddenly in the alien leader's eyes.
Chief Medical Officer's log, Stardate 51471.3. With the neurogenic field neutralized, I've been successful in reviving the entire crew. Unfortunately, the experience has produced a troubling side effect for many of them. Acute insomnia.
Frustrated at tossing and turning, Chakotay gets up and strides restlessly to the mess hall.
Computer, lights on.
Sorry, Commander. I didn't mean to frighten you.
You're not starting breakfast this early, are you?
Just rearranging the supply cabinets. I couldn't sleep.
Neither could I.
How about a soothing cup of tea?
Sounds good.
I know it's silly, but every time I'm about to doze off, I'm terrified that I won't be able to wake again.
You too?
We just finished a little late-night hoverball on the holodeck. 3 games in a row. We were hoping it would wear us out.
You know, I could learn to enjoy these late-night get-togethers.
Speak for yourself. I would kill for a good night's sleep.
Tuvok stumbles in, yawning.
Neelix, I think it's time for breakfast.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.